What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am actually your host, Old Man Wade. Super Woke Harvey is out doing professional stuff, doing what he always does, you know, being the man. Brandon Norton is actually at his full-time job right now, and it's super early on this side of the country, so I'm not going to wake him up at 7 o'clock in the morning to come do a podcast. So he's out there chilling. But I would be remiss if I didn't start doing this more consistently and putting out episodes, especially with X-Men that just came, X-Men 97, which just dropped earlier this week, which I thought was actually perfect. So, you know what? Let's get into this. I have a little funny thing to do, but let's get into that first. The show was perfect. Straight up and down. There was nothing. I have no complaints about anything that happened. Like, just from start to finish, the show was perfect. And I'm not going to lie to you. Wasn't a huge fan of the X-Men animated series after the show ended. Like, when I was a kid, oh, I loved it. Everything about it was just, like, the best. Like, you know, the noises, and the louds. You know, it did annoy me that Wolverine didn't really use claws against anything except for doors, walls, and robots. And so far, he hasn't even really used them except for that one time with the Master Mold Sentinel, which is something I'll get into later. But overall, like, the show was great. Let me break down some of the stuff that I actually did love about the show. Let's start with the intro. They found a way to give us the old X-Men The Animated Series intro music, but add a little bit of twist to it. A buddy of mine that I work with said it had something to do with the original composer being sued for using samples from another song from like the 40s or something like that. But it was more than just a song that I loved. They continued to keep the animation that they used, like Wolverine still jumped out and popped his claws. Cyclops shot his glasses out of his optic blast. Beast jumped into the screen. So all that stuff that we've seen from the original opening remained the same. But, you know, it was updated. One thing that was changed is, like, Morph was now in the intro. And he had his own little side cut, you know, quick little scene in there when he was running away from Sinister in the background, which was a great nod to the original animated series when Morph was dealing with the trauma of being left behind, and then Sinister basically like hopping on that and making him hate the X-Men. So that was super dope. Absolutely love that. We also have the feeling of this. That also gave me like kind of a feeling of nostalgia. You gotta excuse me. I rarely do these things solo, so I'm looking off of a script that I wrote. The nostalgia was great, but it wasn't so much so that it was overwhelming. For example, Cyclops saying "not" was great. It was perfectly timed. And granted, even after you've seen it in some of the trailers, it was still kind of cool to see it in action, especially after he just finished whooping the Friends of Humanity with these, which was also, it was smooth. Like, he was punching. I don't know if he kicked anybody, but he threw some punches, threw a couple of elbows, but that wasn't the best part of it. He was using his optic blast in one of the more creative ways. He was using it to like propel him all around the room, and he was lighting people up. And I was like, "Oh, this is super great. This is what a lot of people wanted from an X-Men project, but just, you know, this just animated." Which kind of leads me to believe that maybe we don't need live action X-Men. Maybe we just stick to the animated series. Maybe do some PG-13, or maybe some. You don't really need a rated R X-Men stuff. Maybe do some PG-13 stuff. And just keep it on Disney Plus. Just give it's a lot smoother. You don't really have to worry about casting other than voice actors, and there's a plethora of voice actors who can do the job. So maybe keep it animated. Next up, another great part that I loved was the fight with the Sentinels in I want to say it was the Sahara Desert, but it was in some desert where they were fighting like the remnants of old Sentinels and new Sentinels that the Master Mold was creating. And, you know, they got the X-Men did their things. Rogue looked like she reversed Bulldog a couple of Sentinels after chucking a head at somebody else. Then there was Beast jumping into a Sentinel and controlling it, and that was all great. The best part probably came when Cyclops basically told them to surrender, and they didn't. And Storm came out, lit the desert up with lightning, which turned the sand into grass, then created a tornado. So with all those shards of glass on top of the high winds, just completely destroyed the Sentinels. It was really creative and another reminder of how powerful Storm is. which kind of makes sense of what they did to her later on, but we'll talk about that. It's probably the last thing I'll probably get into. Then it was then came the Master Mold. So Wolverine's running. Gambit jumps on his shoulder, charges Logan's claws. Gambit jumps off his back, charges his staff, throws it at the ground. It pops Wolverine in the air. Morph shifts into Blob. Logan bounces off of Morph, Blob's stomach, flings him into the air, and just cuts the Master Mold's head off. Like, if you're gonna do it like that. Like, they just went all in. Logan came back, shirt was all tattered and all stuff. I was like, all right, yeah, y'all know what you're doing. I was like, yeah, okay. It was really dope teamwork. I like, and that's one of the more impressive things about the X-Men that people forget. They work, they're great individually, but together they're flawless. And I said this on an old episode of the Culture Comic Book Podcast. The X-Men jump people. That's what they do. There's no shoot the fair one. And we've seen a lot of the memes and tweets and stuff about that. And one of my favorites is, I forget the name of the Instagram page, but one of them said, the way the X-Men look down on the Avengers because they don't have any telepaths. And it's like, yeah, they probably kind of do look down on them. It's like, dude, how do you not have a telepath? Like, and granted, yeah, they like, you know, it's like, oh, Captain America's indomitable will and Tony Stark has all this stuff to get in there and you can't get into the mind of Thor. I was like, yeah, but Hawkeye's still there. And like, you know, and granted, he's not the greatest of Avengers, but like, you know, he's still skilled and can easily take somebody out, especially if they don't know that he's on playing for the opposite team. During the Friends of Humanity fight, Morph was badass. Nothing more to ever say about that. Watching him flip from Psylocke to, I forget who else he flipped into, but like, I think Colossus, yeah, Psylocke and Colossus, and watching him like attack people like that was cool. When they were falling out of the plane in the desert, turning into Archangel, that was super dope. So it's great that they're giving him more to do. And granted, in the original X-Men the animated series, there wasn't a lot for him to do. Because, you know, he was kind of a, I don't want to say pawn, I think that was a bad word, but he was a plot device for, to show, like, that Wolverine had some emotions and things of that nature, which he's still doing now, which I actually like. At the end of, well, towards the end of the second episode, I believe it was, Morph showed up with a six-pack of beer, some chips, and Wolverine was, you know, being his loner self and just kind of sitting in a tree, didn't want to be ignored, didn't want to be bothered. So Morph takes the bag of chips and throws it at him. And when Wolverine looks back, Morph's changed into Sabretooth. And Wolverine smiles and jumps at him. And it's like, now they're play fighting, which is exactly what something like that could get Logan out of his funk. Their relationship is absolutely fantastic. And I have no complaints. I want to see more of it. So far, the best character is Cyclops. And honestly, he might have been the best character in X-Men the animated series. He was able to use his power on a consistent basis and use it against everybody. And with the new creative, new amount of creative people in animation, they're going to make him do even more cool stuff. The things that he did in this series, in this episode, it's only the beginning. He's going to get better. Next up, and one of probably the saddest part of the show, was Storm losing her powers. It's something that happened in the comic books, and I'll get into that in a little bit as well. But no one would have guessed that something like that would have happened this early in the show. Although it kind of makes sense, because if something like that was going to happen, you want it to happen earlier. So maybe throughout the series, we can see the progression of her getting her powers back. Or if it's like the comic books, maybe she starts working with Wolverine to kind of like regain her confidence. Or as my best friend Diddy says, maybe she goes to Wakanda. That would be nice. We're going to see some other Marvel characters. We've always seen the Daily Bugle. And one of the questions was, is Spider-Man a mutant? And so there's no way that's going to be the only character, only Marvel Comics character or Marvel Comic character reference, excuse me, that we see. If you hear me randomly pause or you hear a dog bark, that's Scarlet. And so we'll get into that. But lastly, Jean Grey not being Jean Grey. we don't know whether or not the Jean Grey who popped in at the end of the series is actually Jean Grey. If it's a clone, are we looking at something from an alternate reality or whatever? All we know is that Morph opens the door and Jean Grey, and it's Jean Grey there saying she needs help. If you're a comic book fan, you're probably like me, and the first thing you thought was, oh no, Madeline Pryor's back. And probably exactly what it is. Madeline Pryor is one of the most popular, Madeline Pryor is the most popular answer because she gave birth to Nathan Summers, or as you probably know, Cable. The other thing about, and this is something people may not realize, Jean Grey in the Marvel Comics Universe 616 has never had kids. Cable, like I said, Cable isn't Madeline Pryor's kid, who's a clone of Jean Grey. And Rachel Grey is her child from the future. So there's no guarantee that that's actually her child. However, this is an alternate reality. So that could actually be Jean Grey's kid. And the one who knocked on the door is a clone of Sinister. And another reason this could be a clone of Sinister is because it also brings back emotional ties. It has emotional ties to Morph, who is probably just getting over all the things that happened to him via Mrs. Sinister. So for now, we don't really know what's going on, but I can't wait to see how this plays out. Now, some of you probably don't know this if you're just like the casual comic book fan, so you don't know exactly where you can read this stuff. So for the Trial of Magneto and the promise that he made to Xavier, what you can do is go read Uncanny X-Men number 200. And instead of Magneto becoming a leader of the X-Men, Charles Xavier asked him to lead and teach the new mutants along with keeping his dream alive. So you can read the beginning of that in Uncanny X-Men 199 and 200 and New Mutants 35. Also, it didn't look like Xavier died. He was saved by Lilandra and Corsair, and hopefully they healed him. I didn't read past that, so I don't know. Rogue and Magneto absolutely do have a relationship. They've talked about their feelings a few times, but it's never actually led to anything. Then there are alternate realities where they're together. The Age of Apocalypse and the Exiles universe, they had children. So they are romantically linked. If you want an example of their relationship and how things met, check out Uncanny X-Men 274. That's the 616 universe stuff. The Jean Grey clone, which is Madeline Pryor, you can catch her in Uncanny X-Men number 168. That's where Scott initially meets her. And then check out X-Men Inferno, where we see her as the Goblin Queen. When Storm loses her powers, you can check that out, Uncanny X-Men number 185 and 186. Unlike the animated series, Storm wasn't jumping in the way of Magneto. In the comic books, she was jumping in the way of a blast meant for Rogue. So Storm still basically jumped in and took a hit for somebody else, but it was just two different characters that it happened to. So far, that's about all I have for X-Men the Animated Series. However, there is more X-Men news coming up. Last week, when this was recorded, Marvel Comics put out some stuff about the future of the X-Men. After the Fall of X, it said that the X-Men are going to rise from the ashes. We all knew that this wasn't the end for the X-Men. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if they're going to pull a DC Comics crisis and revamp the universe. That's what it seems like it's going, but you never know with Marvel Comics or with comic books in general. We could be looking at this, and the next thing we know, there's nothing going on. So we have the following comic books are going to be coming out here are their creative teams. First up, writing Uncanny X-Men is Gail Simone, who also wrote Batman and Deadpool, with artist David Marquez, who did Miles Morales' Ultimate Spider-Man. So far, Gail Simone's team will consist of Wolverine, Gambit, Rogue, Nightcrawler, and Jubilee. Kind of a classic 90s team, but I'm going to say this. This is a quote from her on her Twitter, so you can check it out yourself. Gail Simone said this is not the final roster, which makes me very happy because Gail Simone is hilarious. She's a great writer. She's going to make it real fun for X-Men fans. Next up, we have Eve Ewing, who wrote Black Panther and Ree Williams' Ironheart, and Carmen Carnero, who did artwork for Amazing Spider-Man and Miles Morales Spider-Man, are behind Exceptional X-Men. Here, Kitty Pryde and Emma Frost will train the next generation of mutants after Kate becomes comes across new mutants, Braun, Axo, and Melee. Eve Ewing said, longtime fans of Kitty Pryde can count on the same kinds of adventures you expect from her as her classic favorite. While I hope new and old readers alike will get involved and love this ongoing series of the Young Mutants. I especially love that Emma and Kitty are now, like, linked forever. What started as them initially hating each other because, as Kitty Pryde put it, the first time I joined the X-Men, I found out what evil was because she captured the X-Men, with, you know, attacked and captured the X-Men, but now they're, like, best friends, and I absolutely love it. And last but not least, we have Jed McKay, who is currently writing Moon Knight, which has been flawless from the beginning, in the current Avengers series, which is different and awesome. And artist Ryan Stegman, who's done Alien, Black, White, and Blood, and some issues of She-Hulk. They will be doing X-Men, just the regular, not Uncanny, just X-Men. The roster is Cyclops, Beast, Juggernaut, Magneto, Temper, who was formerly Oya, Psylocke, Kid Omega, and Magic. Marvel.com said Krakoa is no more, but the X-Men fight on. From their new base in Alaska, the X-Men raise a flag of defiance. Love it. Absolutely love it. A big middle finger to the world, and that's exactly what the X-Men have always been. They're the kind of people who... they're the kind of people who's like, you know what? Test me. I dare you. But that's not it. There's going to be more stuff coming out. Also with that, there's a series called Phoenix. We have X-Factor, Storm, NYX, X-Force, and Wolverine. All of those are coming in 2024. When Javi and Brandy get back, we'll talk more about that. But for now, I have some questions. I want to know what happened to Magneto. Magneto's in a floating wheelchair in one of the covers. So it's a kind of, I'm guessing it's kind of a shout out to Xavier, who's in a wheelchair, who's also not been mentioned with all this going on. So now I kind of wonder if not only him taking on the role of Xavier, did he cripple himself fighting Nimrod? That would make the most sense, that he just unleashed his, like, just all this power just to take him out. Cyclops and Psylocke are on the same team, and there's an absence of Jean Grey. So it makes me wonder whether or not they're going to try to rekindle the relationship between Cyclops and Psylocke. But leads us to Phoenix. Is Jean Grey Phoenix? Is Hope Summers Phoenix? Is somebody else? Is Rachel Grey Phoenix? We don't know who it is. All we know is the title is Phoenix. So that's coming out. We don't know the creative team, but that's probably, knowing my luck, as soon as I hit stop and go into it, they'll drop news about that. Next up, we have X-Factor. Is it X-Factor Investigations like the recent Peter David and Leah Williams runs? I would love that. Because X-Factor is one of those teams where they kind of use the more obscure mutants. You get Multiple Man, who's one of my favorite characters. Richter, Shatterstar, Longshot, characters like that. So I'm hoping that they still do the same thing, especially now that mutants are going to need more normalcy. It would be cool if we saw more obscure mutants and having them help other teammates and things that other mutants who are having problems, because as we've seen, humanity doesn't trust mutants. So who do you go to when you have problems or mysteries that need to be solved? If you can't go to police, who don't trust you? So hopefully we're getting more of that. Storm's back, and I know people were pissed that they saw a cover and she's in a business suit instead of the fly outfits that she was wearing before. I'm going to reserve judgment until we know what happens, because this could just be something new. I do hope that she goes back to the outfits that she had before, because Storm's always stylish. She may be the most stylish X-Men. So, like I said, going to reserve judgment. Wolverine's back. Of course, he's going to have an ongoing series. It's fucking Wolverine. If there's going to be one X-Men who's always going to have an ongoing series, it's going to be Wolverine. So, not really much to say about that. However, what if it's not Logan and it's Laura? Just a change of pace, just something new. I like Laura Kinney. It would be great to see her evolve more as a character. So you never know. You might see her. But speaking of Laura, we have NYX. NYX was the first comic book appearance of Laura Kinney. Laura Kinney's first appearance was actually in X-Men Evolution, I believe. So we don't know. So we don't know anything about that. But I'm hoping that Laura pops up in that. Maybe we'll see her friend. I have her name right here. Kitty Nixon. Maybe she'll probably return because I think she's the most common person in NYX. I think because mutants are hated and feared again, you're going to have a lot more homeless mutants who aren't allowed on, who are on Krakoa and now have no place to go. They can't go to Arako. They may not have a way to get there, or they decide to stay on Earth. So NYX is probably going to be really good. There's X-Force. Once upon a time, it was Cable's team of young mutants. Later, Cyclops turned into a kill squad. Recently, they were the Krakoa's version of the CIA. Without their island nation, is X-Force running, returning to his roots? Is Nathan Summers back in charge? Will we see another kill squad? Maybe it's a little bit of everything. We don't know. Lastly, is where the hell is Charles Xavier? Like, he's been absent from all the pictures and everything that I've seen. It wouldn't shock me if he kind of just disappeared for a while, because Xavier's kind of a dickhead. He's always been a dickhead. Like, that's just who he is. And maybe in this new era of mutants, he's somebody that the X-Men don't need or want around. I also will say that it's possible that he goes to jail to kind of take the blame for the things that happened during the Hellfire Gala, which is something he may do to, like, oh, well, I did all this stuff, and it's like, you know, I'm the reason that Moira did these things, so, like, you know, I'll take the blame for it as long as the rest of the mutant world goes free. And considering he's the strongest telepath in the world, he can make it look like he can say, I mentally controlled all this from happening. I mentally made all this happen. And, you know, he becomes a martyr of the situation, and knowing Xavier, he would love to be the martyr, because, you know, that's just who he is. Now to this little fun random list that I had. These are comic book characters that would absolutely have an OnlyFans. First one I have is Cyclops. Emma would talk him into it just as a way to pay for all the stuff that the X-Men do. The Blob would do this. Yes, the big, round, bouncy dude. Everyone has a fetish. People like seeing other people naked and eating, so the Blob would make a ton of money, and more than you actually think he would. Nightwing would likely have the best butt on the internet, and the fun thing about it is he would never have to be nude. It would just be him, like, coming out the shower in a towel, or, like, wearing, like a thong or a Speedo or something like that. It would just be nothing but, like, butt pics and his Eskrima sticks. Black Canary would have one. She'd never show her face. It would be all legs and fishnets. The internet would go crazy. She would just, like, dance around, like, walking back and forth in fishnets, probably, like, with her song or her music playing, like, yes, because Black Canary had a group. Harley Quinn, absolutely, just for shits and giggles. I don't know if she'd get nude, though. I could see it, but I could also not see it. Or maybe she kind of, like, teases it, but, like, never shows any nudes. Deadpool, because he's Wade. And I'd be shocked if we don't see Deadpool with a... Or, like, talking about having an OnlyFans in, like, the near future. Like in one of the comic books, it's like, oh, I'm Deadpool. I have an OnlyFans now. Derp, 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 derp. I would not be shocked by that at all. And again, now that I say that, that's probably going to happen in the very next issue of Deadpool. I think he has a book coming out soon. And I'm not sure. I think it's Ziggler doing it. Cody Ziggler, I think, is doing the same person who's currently doing Miles Morales. I believe that's what's going on, but it's Deadpool. I'm going to buy it. So, and I like Ziggler. He's doing a fantastic job with the Miles Morales Spider-Man comic book now, so I'm all in. Multiple Man, because he could pretty much do everything himself. He could produce it. He could live stream it. He could talk to himself to make sure, so, like, he could see what's going on and find out what people do and don't like. So, yeah, of course Multiple Man would do it. And lastly, Hank McCoy. Yeah, he basically runs around naked anyway. He could probably sit there and just be, like, butt-ass, like, sitting there talking about, like, his experiments and, like, to, like, sexy music and like, blue and furry, and people would absolutely love it. Why? Because it's weird and people like weird things. But, hey, I'm with it. All right. That's the end of the episode. I'm not going to drone on about this. I just wanted to make sure I got this X-Men content out. But I am going to get into some What Am I Reading. Nightwing 112 was fun. It was all from Batman's perspective. Like, it starts with him when Dick Grayson was really young and he was angry. And then it moves on to a current adventure where they're trying to save a kid whose parents were killed. And the way it happens, like, Batman's observing everything that he's not. He does everything with flair still, but he's not as aggressive as he was. He made it a point to say that he hits hard, but he doesn't hit someone harder than he has to. It's just enough to incapacitate him. When he met up with the Titans for help, he said the Titans are a better team than the Justice League are. He's like, the Justice League are a good team, but the Titans are more together. They're friendlier. They assembled better. They kind of just knew that, like, hey, we need to do this. And he didn't have to call them to, what is it that he said? He said Nightwing didn't have to call them. They came to him. And that's kind of a testament to who Nightwing and Dick Grayson is. He's a man of the people. Something else Batman brought up, that, like, he's made it a point to do more as Dick Grayson and Nightwing than Bruce has done as Batman and Bruce Wayne. And he said a million times that Bruce has said that Nightwing is a better hero than he is. Next up is Justice League versus Godzilla versus King Kong, number 6. It's fun. Bunch of giant people and giant beings and kaiju and robots just beat the crap out of each other. One of the Green Lanterns died, and I can tell you which one, but that's probably how King Kong gets his ring in the Justice League versus Godzilla versus King Kong finale. I think it's going to be fun. It's probably going to be one of the most fun books you're going to read all year. It's especially great because it's an Elseworld book, so you never know what's going to happen. But I also think that this is going to eventually become a animated movie or an animated couple of movies because it's fun. Who wouldn't want to watch animated versions of King Kong and Godzilla fight Superman, Shazam, and Batman? Like, the Bat family fought a giant bat in Gotham. Yes, it's on the nose, but it's goddamn funny. And lastly, Wonder Woman number 7. Tom King's been perfect for 7 issues. I don't think that's going to change. This particular issue was fun because Superman and Wonder Woman went to the biggest mall in the galaxy that has over 500,000 stores, and they was trying to find the perfect gift for Batman. Superman ends up fighting a couple of people because, you know, he's Superman. Everybody wants a piece of him. At some point, Clark gets his nails done, and they have to, almost use, a blowtorch to do it. And he gets a mani-pedi, and Superman says to Wonder Woman, oh, I have to get my own pedicure. You should get one, too. And Wonder Woman, without a hint of sarcasm, goes, do I look like the type of woman or type of person who... No, yeah, do I look like the type of woman who gets their nails done in the mall? And Superman goes, I don't know. What type of woman does that look like? Next panel is her getting her nails done and being happy that she did. So it was fantastic. I absolutely loved it. All right, everybody. That's been the Old Man Wade Show. Thank you for listening. You can find me on OldManWadeCom on Instagram and Twitter. And TikTok, I'm going to probably start doing that more of those because they're fun, and I actually need to do that more in general just to get my voice out there and do the fun things that I love doing. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week. And as always, be excellent to each other. Peace.